please take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 1. We're going to begin with the 14th verse. We kind of touched in the 14th verse last week. It is too important of a verse to not spend some more time, and probably half of the message today will continue in the 14th verse. And so John chapter 1, verse 14, we're going to read down through the 18th verse today. John chapter 1, verse 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now John bare witness of Him, and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him." Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank You today that we can come and read Your Word, fellowship over Your Word. I thank You for the opportunity of the Sunday school classes, that we can come and learn of Your Word, learn verse after verse, learn how to teach Your Word. Please, that we be good stewards of what You have given us. You have given to each and every one of us a special gift, a special ability. Please, dear Lord, that we be busy in using that. And Father, we know that if we don't know what that is, just get to work. And God, You'll show it to us very quickly. You'll show us that we have a special ability to do a certain service here at the church. Please, that You will guide and lead us now as we study Your precious Word. I want every heart to be touched today. Father, those that do not know You as their Savior, that today be the day. Today is the day of salvation, so today must be the day to trust in Him. So please, that Father, they would come, bring them today, that they'll call upon You for salvation, salvation that was accomplished on the cross of Calvary. Please, that You will bring those. And Father, as we are saved and been saved, some of us for many, many years, it's a continual learning. There's never a time, Father, that we cannot learn from You and apply what You teach us for today and tomorrow if You give it to us. So please, that You'll just guide and lead us and strengthen us today through Your Word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. As we look at this 14th verse, we'll find that 14th verse is a question. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." This verse, this 14th verse, is the single one of the single greatest mysteries that we have of our Christian walk. It's the greatest truth that we have, that He has come here to earth to live and to die to save us. And that 14th verse tells us of that. His divinity was never laid aside. It was only veiled by flesh. And so please, Christ Jesus was God in all His perfection, yet He was perfect man. And at the very same moment he was conceived by the Virgin Mary. And so please, perfect God, perfect man. The same God-man is now in heaven, seated on the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for us. And so as we look at this 14th verse, some of this will be review, some of it will be for the first time, but please just listen so carefully, because the importance of this verse is something we can't measure. And so please look at it, listen to it very, very carefully. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." You'll find again that in 1 Timothy 2, 5. Hebrews chapter 1, and when you turn to this, and please do with me, keep your finger in the book of Hebrews, because we have another cross-reference we're going to be reading very quickly. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to look to the Word of God to confirm what we're seeing here in the first chapter of the Gospel of John. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews 1, 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Every moment of his earthly ministry, he was truly and entirely God, yet he was just as truly and entirely man. Jesus, as man, knows our infirmities. He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. He can sympathize with us because he was one with us here on earth. And yet he can deal with God on equal terms for us because he is God. Christ is made righteousness unto us. As we look at his precious blood, we need to understand that he shed his blood for us. He had to take on the body of a man to do that. The blood he shed for sinners was the blood of God, fathered by the Holy Spirit. The blood of God, even though he died as a man, but it was God's blood, precious, perfect blood. God cannot die, but God became flesh in order that he might taste death for every man. And here's where we need to return back to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, 14, and 15. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Now down to the 14th verse of chapter 2. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Back to John chapter 1, verse 14. And you'll notice it tells us, and we beheld his glory. We beheld his glory. John got the opportunity to see the glorified Lord Jesus. It's on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John were invited to go to the Mount with the Lord. And there they saw Moses and Elijah and the Lord Jesus as they discussed the events that were to take place soon in Jerusalem. There they saw Jesus transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light, Matthew 17:2. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. You know, this glory that James and Peter and John witnessed was not seen by anyone else. That glory was kept to just a few. Because at this time and this day, his own, the Jews, refused him. They saw no beauty that they should desire him, the word tells us. But he, fully possessed the glory of grace, truth, and holiness while he walked upon this earth. Glory is the only begotten of the Father. Begotten of the Father, as the Scripture tells us here. This describes our Christ, our Lord, in his eternal existence. His eternal generations, his eternal sonship from the beginning. Christ is the person who alone was begotten of the Father from all eternity. There is so much in this 14th verse. God has always had a son. This is declared in Proverbs chapter 30, verse 4. And so please, if you'll turn there with me, because and kind of hold on to that section, because the next verse of Scripture we're going to is in Psalms. And so let's look back to Proverbs. And we're going to read from verse 2 to verse 9, because there is so much in that section. And the point that we're to make is found in verse 4. But we're going to begin Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to begin reading, as this is recorded for us, starting in the second verse. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 2. Surely I am more brutish than any man, and have not the understanding of a man. I neither learned wisdom nor have the knowledge of the holy. And then the questions come in this fourth verse. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name, if thou canst tell? Every word of God is pure. He is a shield upon them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Two things have I required of thee. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me my vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Back to that fourth verse. God has always had a son. These verses tell us that. But what questions is asked here? Who hath ascended up unto heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the winds in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What's his name, and what is his son's name altogether? What a wonderful verse of Scripture. Now turn with me to Psalms chapter 2. Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. Psalms chapter 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. What a wonderful verses of Scripture. John lives and operates in the eternal present. There was never a time when God was not, and the same is true with God the Son. It is also true that he was promised back in the Garden of Eden. You know that if you look back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, you'll find the very first gospel presented in his precious word. The plan of salvation is poured out already in Genesis 3, 15. And so the promise was there. The fullness of time arrived, though, in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5 tells us of it. And, of course, we know as Jesus is coming on to the scene here, it is the fullness of time. And so go with me to Galatians chapter 4. Good study of the Word of God, good Bible drills today, seeing if you can find the books of the Bible. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. And this tells us that when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of the sons. My, those words are hard to understand, aren't they? Those words are impossible to explain, and yet we need to believe them, and we can very easily and very simply believe by faith. The Scripture very clearly teaches of the Godhead, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We believe as the Father is, so is the Son. The Son's not inferior to the Father, but the Father is not the Son, neither is the Son the Father. Can we understand those things? Three yet one. The Word of God tells us clearly. Can we attempt to explain it? No. We need to believe it, and believe it by faith. God said it. Believe it. It's that simple. We look at the end of this 14th verse. We've kind of sectioned it off there. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, now full of grace and full of truth. Full of grace and full of truth. This here does not point to the Father, but to the Son, the Lord Jesus. Jesus was born our Savior, as Matthew chapter 1, verse 21 tells us. We are saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You can find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus tells us in John chapter 8, verse 32, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And in the 36th verse of that same chapter, John 8, 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. There's only one way that freedom comes. And if you deny the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving power, salvation is not yours. We're not saying here that God is not grace and truth. He is. But as the Word in flesh, who was full of grace, the grace that God brought down to man. This Word, in the beginning, there's never been a time when the Word was not. But Jesus bodily was something new to this earth. He was the Word in flesh and tabernacled among men to declare God's love, God's grace, and God's truth. Turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, we're going to read verse 46. Through 48. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same have judged him in the last days, shall judge him in the last days. Those words do not say, the word that I will speak. It's the words that I have spoken. The words that I have spoken. John chapter 1, verse 14, full of grace and truth. And we kind of change directions a little bit here, talking about the one that is coming to testify of this great Savior, our Savior. John chapter 1, verse 15. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. We have here three great doctrines. Three, you might call it, great foundation stones that need to be laid. And the first one we find in the 16th verse, and of his fullness have all we received grace for grace. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19, and then chapter 2, verse 3. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And then chapter 2, verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Our Lord Jesus brought all the fullness of grace to us. He has given us all, everything that we need. In Christ, the Christian finds every need will be supplied. Every need in Christ. The second doctrine or stone, we're going to call it, is found in verse 17. And the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Moses was a faithful servant to the Lord, but that's what he was, a faithful servant. The law, it was holy, it was good, it was just. But the problem comes with that. The law could not save a sinner. If the law could save a sinner, Jesus would not have need to die on the cross. All we need to do, very simply, and those that were with Moses at the time, those Israelites, they thought they could keep the law. Give us the rule so we know the rules, we'll keep them. We can't. We can't. We need a Savior. And so that's the reason, my friend, you can't ignore the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't reject Jesus as your Savior. You can't, because it's the only means of salvation. Many think they can keep the law. Romans chapter 3, verse 20, Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So the law, being perfect, shows us how evil and wicked we are. Its purpose was to bring us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that we would try to keep the law and abide by the law. Yes, we should. But it's not going to save us. We need Jesus as our Savior. The law, you see, has no healing, no forgiving power. The law is the law. Today, as you see something come to the courts, and it seems to depend on which group they're from, whether they're liberal or conservative, that changes their ruling. Isn't the law the law? Well, they do the same thing with the Word of God today. The liberals change the Word of God to fit them. And so if something in the Word of God is not cared for or is not liked, why, they just reject it. There's many believe that it's just inspired in spots, not the whole scripture. We read that back in Proverbs. We need to know its truth from cover to cover. The law cannot heal, nor is the law forgiving. And our God, the judge, Jesus didn't come to judge at this time, but he will. And when he does, he will judge with righteousness. And that means he is a perfect judge. He's not going to side with one group or another because he favors that belief. He will read the law and the law stands. And if you're not covered with the blood of Jesus, the only place that you're going to spend eternity is in hell. The law pronounced the curse. The law was not in any way a blessing. These wonderful treasures of truth and grace that our God has given us is too many to measure. Turn with me to Hebrews once again. Several times today we have been in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 5 and 6. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Back to the third doctrine or third stone. And that third stone is found in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Jesus Christ alone reveals to us God. So any group that have forgotten and go straight, think they're going straight to God the Father, cannot. You cannot know God the Father unless you know God the Son. God the Son brings us to God the Father. The Son shows us of the Father. It is the only one that can show us the Father. The only one. I have several verses of Scripture here. And let's go to the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. John chapter 10, verse 30. It says, I and my Father are one. Move to the 14th verse, chapter 9. John 14:9, Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Move back with me to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Verse 22, John 5:22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father, which hath sent him. There's only one way of salvation. There's only one way to walk and to know God the Father, and that's through the Son. And if you lack a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no means of salvation, no means of eternal life, no means of knowing the Father. It's all through the Son. That's why the devil works so hard to rid this world of the name of Jesus. He works so hard to get us to think that we can just pray at any time to God the Father because of a universal salvation, that all are really saved. It's nothing to do with a personal relationship or asking the Lord Jesus into your heart. Well, if you know Jesus as your Savior because you have that personal relationship, you know that there's a difference. Because Jesus is real. He's alive. He is a Son of God. Complete man, complete God, as we looked at that 14th verse. Please, you hear so often, God has done this for me. I pray to God, and you inquire, when did you trust in Jesus? And they look at you as if they have no idea what you're talking about. Oh, you need to know Jesus to know the Father. They don't know it. Their prayers are getting about to the ceiling, and that's about it. And yet they'll say, God answered my prayer. God did this. God did that. No, He didn't. The first prayer that He's going to hear is a prayer of repentance, turning to Him, asking Jesus to save us. And that comes when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart. The law curses us. It's perfect. It's good. It's us that's evil. We need Jesus. Every one of us. So please, we're going to start back to the 15th verse and look at John. I just wanted to look at those three, as it's been called, foundation stones that we need to know. You see, we come here to come to school. We come here to learn. And so I hope that the Holy Spirit has helped you to understand His precious word today. That's why we're here. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You today that we can come and look to Your word and enjoy it. I hope that it was a joy to all of our hearts. If we do not know You as our Savior, it may not seem to be a joy. It may seem to be a convicting power and a condemning power, because we're seeing who we really are and something very ugly to look at. Only when we are covered with Your precious blood, because we have come to You and accept that free gift of salvation, does that change. So please, dear Lord, don't let anyone leave here without knowing You as their Savior. Because, dear Father, we know that You've sent Your Son, and He was obedient to come down and to die on the cross. Perfect God, perfect man, the only one that could ever do that. Face death for us that we can live. So please, that all here have life in You. Not just life after this one. We do have eternal life. But life today. Living and serving You. Please guide and lead us, dear Lord, to salvation and then on to service. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.